Hey, good to be with you guys too, Steve.
Well, you, you're the one that hunts this stuff down all the time. Is it important to look not just at the overall rating, but the average star rating of this team to get of this class to get a better read on them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's especially the case with the fact that they have probably, I have to go back and look to be 100% sure, but this is definitely one of the smaller classes they've had in the last 10 years. So, you know, it just when you have a small senior class, it's going to work out that way. And you had more guys come back than you thought last year that, you know, didn't leave for the NFL. So just kind of a lot of things that went on in this cycle. But, you know, it reminds me a lot of 2016, Steve. Penn State, as we sit here and talk about it, in the 247 Sports Composite ranking, at least last update I saw, they were number 19 this year nationally, number 5 in the Big Ten. That'll fluctuate some as guys decide over the next couple of days and then decide in February if there's a few of them left to do so as well. But I think it's a safe bet to say this is a top 25 class for Penn State, if not a top 20 class, and it's going to be top 5 or 6 in the Big Ten. But when you go back to 2016 and look, you know, that was a class too where I think a lot of people thought Penn State could have done a little bit better. You know, Dwayne Haskins was in that class, and there were some other receivers. You know, Trey Nixon was a guy that Penn State really went hard after in this class. Kerry Angeline, Nazir Upshur, those were two tight ends that Penn State fans really thought they had a chance at. They ended up with Danny Dalton, you know, and you go across the position board there, and much like this year, there were a lot of guys who Penn State may have felt like they were at one point in the lead for, or it looked like they were going to get. You know, I think of Lucas Nyang, the offensive tackle who ended up at TCU in that 16 class. And, I mean, we can go down the list here in this cycle as well with the guys that Penn State either had committed, like a you know, Dante Thornton, who ends up elsewhere, or that they seemed like they were in the driver's seat for and didn't get. You know, Penn State was recruiting Dalen Hayes and Aaron Hansford in that 16 cycle. And, you know, there was a lot of kind of the perspective then was that that class didn't turn out the way it should have. But when you go back and look at it, Steve, you have Miles Sanders, a 5-star recruit in that signing class. That turned out okay. Michael Mennett, perfect. Shane Simmons, a guy who's come on late here, obviously dealt with some injuries, but has been a tremendous locker room guy. I know you don't recruit 4 stars for that, but he certainly hasn't hurt the program. You know, Connor McGovern was in that group. Cam Brown. Will Fry's obviously a multi-year starter. You know, Shaka Toney was a 3-star in that class. Blake Gillikin was a terrific punter for Penn State. Antonio Shelton was in that class. So when you go back and look at it with the obvious benefit of hindsight, which is what we do, the recruiting rankings, of course, tell you what the expectations are, and then you go back and check them and see what actually happened. I think this 2021 class has a lot of that 16 potential in terms of maybe it's not the prettiest on paper, maybe it's not as highly rated as we're used to seeing a James Franklin class, and maybe it missed some guys that we thought they would get. You know, maybe they don't obviously have a Nolan Ruggie, a 5-star in this class, but I think that there's enough talent in this 15-member group, and there's 7 early enrollees to think that this group, I think, will be viewed in a much more positive light down the road than maybe what it is today in the middle of this, you know, pandemic and no in-person visits. Penn State loses its best recruiting tool and all that. So I do think that this class can be compared to that 16 group, and maybe that we'll look at it like we look at that group now down the road.
Many decades ago, J.T. White looked at Joe Paterno and he said, just remember, don't concentrate on who, quote, we don't have. Concentrate on who we do have. So that's how he looked at it. And then Joe kind of took that and ran from there with that. Half of these guys, about half, maybe a little bit more than half, did camp here. What did that do to help their recruiting stock with the Penn State coaches, because half of them did camp here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously, you know, when you can't get guys, excuse me, Steve, when you can't get guys on campus for almost an entire calendar year, I mean, you miss out on, I mean, I think that's going to impact the 2022 class maybe more than this one. But I assure you that Penn State would have found some guys that they would have considered offer worthy, or that they could have impressed more who they already had offered after the kids got to work out with the coaches and go around campus and all of that. And, you know, again, that's just the unfortunate reality of this year and this cycle, is that because of the pandemic, no schools hosted visitors since March. There was always this hope that maybe that would change as the months went on, and then it quickly became apparent early in the summer that that was not going to be the case. Right. So, yeah, the kids who did camp certainly got a step up with the Penn State coaching staff. They were able to see them in person. And, you know, game film this year for the kids that did play certainly helps. You know, obviously a guy like Harrison Wallace really impressed a lot of schools based on how many offers he got down the stretch. He ends up flipping. He gets an offer from Penn State a month and a day after Duke offered, and he jumped on that Duke offer immediately. And then by early December, he flips to Penn State, of course, signed with the Lions today. So, you know, game film certainly helped some kids this year. But, yeah, we'll never know what those missed camps meant to both this class and the next class. But the kids that were able to get on campus certainly got a leg up, I think, in finding a way into Penn State's smaller class this year.
When you look at, obviously, the positional balance of this, I usually look at myself at 3 years. Look, I admit, I don't look at any of the highlight tape. I don't. It doesn't tell me much. But and then I only say that because I get to see them in practice. So that's where I start to really form an evaluation, just to be fair. But when you look at the positional balance of this team over the last 3 years, this class with the last two, what are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think the maybe biggest concern of this particular group is that it's a little light on offensive and defensive linemen. You know, Penn State, so they're starting with the offensive side of the ball. They're going to lose Will Fries after this season, and I'll just work under the pretense, Steve, that no one's going to use that extra year of eligibility. We'll see. Right. But, you know, Will Fries goes, Michael Menick goes. You know, you probably would have liked a guy or two more in this class. Defensive line, same thing. You get Rodney McGraw, who flips from Indiana. You may have liked to see maybe another guy or two there. But, you know, again, I think the tough part about looking at positional balance, and I'm sure Andy Frank speaks with the reporters in about 45 minutes, is going to discuss this some too. But positional balance anymore is really a challenge. I remember early in Andy's time here, he had talked about the fact that when they got here, they needed to balance out their scholarship table and their roster grid and make sure that they had enough depth at every position. And we all know which positions they were in a bad place with. And, right, you know, you can get to that point, and then through the transfer portal and injuries and guys leaving early, you can quickly find yourself in a world of hurt. So, you know, obviously I think they like what they have at receiver, but if Jahan Dotson would decide to go to the NFL, you know, you're a little bit light there all of a sudden. Defensive end might be a spot you would consider a little bit light. So, you know, they have some work to do. Safety, I think you could have that same conversation too. So I won't be surprised to see if Penn State does look to find some portal help this year. But ultimately, you know, I think they're doing as well as they can. We'll see if they get another running back with Deshaun Morrell, the 3-star Alabama running back who's going to decide between UCLA and Penn State on Friday. You know, I think they like to take a quarterback, like to take a running back in each cycle. So, and, you know, I think the one thing that's worth noting is the special teams gets helpful, too. Sanders Ahadic's a really good specialist and is going to help the depth of that room for years to come. So not bad over the last two cycles, but, again, it's just hard to completely evaluate until you don't know the whole picture. And without spring practice, that obviously convoluted things last year. So hopefully that's back on as normal this year. And you get, you know, if guys don't like where they're at after that, they leave and move on. And, you know, then you get some better feeling for where this roster and depth chart really are. But with the extra year of eligibility still in play, and obviously the portal will open soon and guys could go to the NFL draft, it's tough to really get a strong grasp on it at this point.
Let's talk about the portal for a moment. How much does that change your job? You're always looking at high school players all the time and what their intentions are going to be. Do you now have to expand that job to then start looking around at collegiate rosters to start saying, okay, transfer portal possibility and what they look like and evaluate them that way?
Yeah, not so much. Usually, I mean, the 247 Sports, ESPN, and Rivals do a nice job of tracking those entries on a daily basis. So I think we get that information pretty quickly when a guy goes into the portal, if he's somebody who a Power 5 school might want, and even if he's not, you know, that information is pretty well known not long after that guy goes into the portal. So it's more about just waiting to see, okay, does this guy have any connection to Penn State staff? And now obviously they have some new guys on this staff. So maybe the previous staff didn't, you know, maybe, you know, the guy that came before this coach or that coach didn't recruit this kid, but the new coach recruited him at his old school. So could there be a connection there? You know, what is the position fit? What has the kid been saying? You know, why did he leave? Did he leave because he wasn't playing? Did he leave because he was at a small school and wanted to go and try and find somewhere bigger to play to get more exposure for his last season? Was he blocked at his position and maybe he was just as good as the other guy coming out of high school, but he hasn't been able to find a way onto the field and wants to go find an opportunity to play? I mean, there's so many variables and reasons why guys go into the portal. And, you know, the tough thing, again, with the with the transfer situation is that you have guys who are grad transfers and they want to move on for one reason. Now you have underclassmen, you have the 1 year transfer rule that looks like it's going to pass and give everyone a free pass. So, I mean, are guys moving around because they're not good enough to play? And the question you always have to ask yourself is, if they're not good enough at school X, what's going to make them good enough at Penn State? So you have to kind of try and dig below the surface and figure out those answers too. But between Penn State's recruiting staff and obviously the coaching staff and James Franklin, they're able to get those answers. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, another thing is you don't reach for guys anymore if you don't have to. You don't take a late flyer on a guy because you just have a spot available and want to fill out your class. You know, I think if you're going to do that, you better be 100% because you might rather have saved that space for somebody who ends up transferring.
All right. So what about the late signing period now? Is there some room in the late signing period, or is that going to be determined on who stays and who goes?
You know, I think there's probably some flexibility there because, you know, they always know, they have a better working knowledge of what guys are thinking about leaving than we do. And of course, there's always some surprises. So I think that they'll have some wiggle room there. Again, the question will just be, with the room they have available, do they want to use that spot for a guy who maybe is a late bloomer, maybe has shown something on tape, maybe decommitted from somewhere else, maybe this was going to sign somewhere in December and then said, ooh, let me tap the brakes and wait until February to get some answers to some questions that I have about this program or that program. So we'll get some clarity at the end of this week when the early signing period's done, who's still on the board and who's not. Do I think Penn State adds some guys in the, you know, during the next signing period? Yeah, I could see one or two for sure. And they could have some beads on transfer guys at that point. So, you know, again, I think you have to trust your board, and if guys that you evaluated before are still there and you think you can get them, you go all out for them. But I don't know if you're going to see Penn State look for new guys to offer or look for new guys to take. I think it's more about the ones that are left. You focus on them, and then obviously, again, turn your attention to the transfer portal.
What about the Auburn, Arizona, and Illinois situations? Their coaches were released because, look, the season extended into late into this month, so that's why they ended up getting released now instead of doing it on say, Thanksgiving weekend. And I'm not saying Penn State's going after the players, whatever, but how does that play nationally and maybe even for Penn State about the fact that suddenly these guys are in limbo?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly something to watch for here because obviously Illinois is the kind of prime example of a school where these kids are set to sign with that school on Sunday, and all of a sudden, or I'm sorry, on Wednesday, and all of a sudden on Sunday, Levy Smith is out. And now you have to say to yourself, well, what do I do at this point? Because there were so many commitments early this year that I don't think there's a lot of schools sitting around with open space. And if they have open space, they may not be able to fit every kid in that class if you wanted to decommit. So now you're sitting there and say to yourself, okay, well, I'm not signing now. I'm definitely going to wait until February to meet the new coach. But, you know, we've seen that happen too, where kids committed to a school, to an old staff, and the new staff comes in and says, yeah, you don't fit our system. You don't fit what we're looking for. And that kid's kind of left holding the bag, trying to find somewhere else to go. So I do think that is worth watching what those schools, you know, how many kids they sign during this period, what their other commits decide to do. And it's tough. You're right. I mean, the season backed right up against the signing period here, which was tough for everyone, especially for schools like Penn State and Illinois, who still are playing a game this week, and they have to do all this stuff. An interim staff has to try and keep a recruiting class together and get ready for a game. I can't imagine how hectic things are in Champaign. Of course, they're crazy here, too, but at least their staff's been together for a long time. Its class has been solid for months, and it didn't have really too much to worry about. So, yeah, that's something to keep an eye on, though, too, Steve. And then anyone who might move on and change jobs after this week, too. You know, again, if guys maybe got the sense that someone's going to move, a coach or a coordinator or position coach, and they wanted to wait to sign. So, yeah, we'll have to take a look again Saturday morning, Sunday, and early next week, see who didn't end up signing that we thought would, and then evaluate where they could possibly stand with Penn State, if that would even be an option worth considering.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your time, Greg, as always.
All right. Always a pleasure.